Hey, Flames fans, it's time for another special off-season episode of Flames Unfiltered. I am host Brad Rood, and Kyle Lewis, the other host, joins me like we do every single week talking Flames hockey. And it's an interesting, and I think it's going to be a pretty funny, entertaining episode as we dive deep into the greatest goaltenders in Calgary Flames history. So My first thought is, how long is this episode going to be?
7 minutes.
We usually do 30 in these special episodes. I'm not sure. We actually have some pretty cool things to talk about because there was some really high points, but the depth of the goaltending has not been a big plus in Calgary.
No, not over the years. I mean, it's very easy for us to sit here and talk about, as we often have, but Mike Vernon and Mika Kiprusoff as the two kind of stalwarts of the franchise, which is exactly what they were. However, based on some conversations you and I have had, and some memories you and I have as individuals, I suspect we're going to throw out some pretty random names here.
Very random. I'm gonna put you on the spot. So, if someone stopped you in the bar and said, "All right, who are the best three Flames goalies in history? Who are they?"
Ooh. Well, Mika Kiprusoff, number one. Mike Vernon, number two. That is so painfully easy. The third spot is very, very difficult, but it depends. Are we talking about the goaltender in general, or is goaltender in terms of what he was with the Flames?
With the Flames, because I know who you would say otherwise. You'd probably fire off J.S. Jaguar, probably, right?
Nope.
Who am I missing?
Curtis Joseph.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
You could even
throw Grant Fuhr, even though I don't think Grant Fuhr was ever that great of a goalie. I think he was a goalie who had a hell of a team in front of him.
Yeah, and he made the saves he had to, which is always the cliche I think people say. Curtis Joseph was the third best goaltender ever put on the Flames colors, in my opinion, because I think athletically, run support by the teams he played for, way, way better than Grant Fuhr as an athlete. However, no disrespect to Fuhr intended. Because the guy was nothing but a winner. The third best goaltender to play for the Flames, and I actually was just looking this up too, but I'm going to go a little off the board here and say Freddie Brathwaite.
You know, there's a lot of talk for that, and I have a hard time arguing. I think if statistically speaking, I think a lot of people would pull out a guy me and you don't even know, and that's Dan Bouchard. I don't know who he is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know the name, obviously, and I've read the numbers, but like, I can't speak about him, right? You know, you say Fred Brathwaite, and I think a lot of people will be like, "What? Really? Like, really? Who?" He had a .909 save percentage for this organization,
which is incredible for how crappy those teams were that he played on, right?
Yeah, he was a .500 goalie here. I think he's 51.
25 and 7, I think, in 99-2000 with 5 shutouts on a horrible, horrible team. Yeah. That's incredible. Those are incredible numbers.
You know who's another one? And I'm going to throw this out. I'm going to say it right now. The one that everybody there, I have two goalies that I feel have been like very underrated, but were really good. Well, Fred Brathwaite, obviously he's the description of that, but remember Chad Johnson?
Oh yeah. Brian Elliott and Chad Johnson. Yeah.
Brian Elliott. I'm soured on him because of that one playoffs. Like I can't even.
Very good. Demi by Anaheim. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even. Yeah. But I mean, you look at Chad Johnson's numbers in Calgary, he was a .91 save percentage.
Wow. Yep.
You know, and he didn't play a ton of games here. He played 36 games here. So not a ton, but you know, another one that comes to mind that was really good when he was here was Cam Talbot.
He won
22 of 26 games. Really?
What do you think about the goaltenders that had success elsewhere? I mean, it's such a weird topic for Flames fans because it's like Vesa-Toskala. I have one of his game warns.
Yeah.
And he was the number one A or 1B goaltender behind Evgeny Nabokov in San Jose. Kiprusoff was very firmly number three, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Toskala was the starting goaltender for the Leafs for a time, right? Curtis Joseph started everywhere. Brian Boucher broke the NHL shutout record for 5 straight. I mean, all these guys played for Calgary, but very few of them had sustained success with Calgary.
Yeah.
And by the way, Hey, the Chad Johnson, Brian Elliott season, those two, which was 16-17, I want to say.
Chad Johnson was 16-17.
Yeah, there it is. Booyah, nailed that one. And Elliott was, they were a tandem, and they were a tandem. Until Elliott faceplanted in the playoffs that year.
They that both had a save percentage of 0.9, over in the 0.90. I mean, they were both up there, right?
They were fantastic. It was a perfect tandem. That, okay, pound for pound, that was the best goaltending tandem we've ever had, other than the brief time we had Kiprusoff and Joseph as a tandem for half a season in 08-09.
Oh, yeah.
And that is not up for debate, in my humble opinion.
Oh, I'm with you. You know, this is a question, and I knew this. I want to bring this up because I knew it would spark debate. But like, where do you fit Jacob Markstrom in this?
Markstrom was phenomenal in the 21-22 season and had some other good seasons in Calgary for sure. But I never understood why he got so many accolades. I really didn't. Between Florida, Vancouver, and then Calgary, well, he was a good goaltender, a little bit injury prone at times, but I don't understand why he had such a wild pedigree about him that people were so gung-ho to acquire him like the Devils eventually did. Never got it.
See, I was super pumped when we acquired him. You know, I think one of the reasons why like the market really took to him was initially when he got here, I mean, he fired off a lot of shutouts. I believe he had 15 shutouts while he was in Calgary. And
he had 10 one year, which tied Kiprusoff's record.
Yeah. Did that year not like mentally kind of like solidify him as like a stalwart, you know, like a guy you didn't have to worry about in the net. But, you know, when you think about it, there was some times we really did have to worry, you know, but he quickly became a fan favorite. I think. And a lot of it was just because of those shutouts, you know, I mean, that was such a critical time for him. Right.
He made some real highlight reel saves too, but I gotta be honest, I hated having a goaltender wear number 25. I hated it with a passion.
I didn't care. Like my favorite goalie number. Remember when I was a kid, there was a goalie that was a younger kid goalie, like a junior goalie that wore number 00, and I'd love that. And I know you can't now, and I know didn't what the hell's his name? Martin Biron wore that in
Buffalo.
And
he did.
And I believe John Davidson wore it for the New York Rangers back in the early 80s. But I thought it was a cool number for a goalie. But, you know, 25 never really bothered me.
I just hated looking
at it. Belfour do something stupid and wear 20 one year in San Jose, like for a while?
Belfour wore 20 his entire career.
Did he really?
Yep. Chicago, Toronto, Dallas, San Jose. He wore it everywhere. Everywhere.
I remember him wearing number 30 in North Dakota. He wore number 30, I believe.
When he wore 20 as a tribute to Vladislav Tretiak. Okay. I don't think anybody's really worn it since as a goaltender, actually. But for whatever reason, Markstrom wearing 25, I hated the look of that. I want to see 1, 30, 31, 33, 35, 39, even 80 with Dan Vladar, I could accept.
I liked the 80. I didn't mind.
Or the best 80 goaltender of all time, Darren Puppa, Tampa Bay Lightning.
Aaron Puppa.
Buddy of mine's a big Puppa mark all these years later, so I got to give him a shout-out, right?
So one thing I wanted to bring up when we did this episode is like when we first acquired a goalie, like who are you the most excited for? Two of them come to mind for me. Like,
oh.
Two of them come to mind for me. One of them I'm totally embarrassed, but the other one was okay.
The most excited I've ever been for a goaltender acquisition in my life was Curtis Joseph. I was obsessed with Curtis Joseph as a Toronto Maple Leaf, and when he signed in Calgary,
9 games here,
and he bailed us out of a playoff game 3 against San Jose in 09. But anyway, I have an autographed photo of Curtis Joseph in a Flames jersey behind me. Like, I am such a mark for Cujo. I love that man to death, such that anybody else behind it is firmly second place, but my second place goaltender in terms of players we acquired for a goalie that I was excited about was Roman Turek.
Okay.
Because that to me was like, oh, we got like a big name goaltender, even though we'd flopped in the playoffs the previous season with San Jose. He immediately rattled off 2 shutouts. He finished 30-28 that season, the year that Ginla had 52 goals, and he he flopped a bit throughout the season, but he was a big, big goaltender. He had a cool Iron Maiden mask. He looked awesome wearing Blasty. Like he checked a lot of boxes that a young Kyle was really into, you know?
Oh yeah. I got it.
All right, so, okay.
They weren't starting lineups. What were the figurines back then? McFarlane?
Yeah. It was two Roman Turk ones. Now, I rambled way too long there. Give me your two. Lay them on me.
I remember when we acquired Jonas Hiller and how.
Oh, you're such a mark for that. You're so excited.
God. I was so excited for that. And when I look back now, I'm just like, oh my God, the hell was I thinking? But I was super, I thought he was the savior. I was super pumped for that one. I was fairly excited for Markstrom, but the other one that sticks in my mind was Trevor Kidd. And I think I'm going to bring this up and I'm going to reflect on what you just said. He checked a lot of boxes for me as a young kid. I'm probably pretty close to the same age as him, to be honest with you. But he had that mask and those pads,
the dragon mask.
Yeah, I mean, he just, I was collecting cards at the time, and you get the Trevor Kidd, or I remember McDonald's in Canada had the little mask you could get.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. So let me ask this: how old are you?
I'm 52.
Oh, Trevor Kidd is 53.
Yeah, I figured he was real close to me. But yeah, he checked off all those boxes for me. When I was just really, I was just, getting out of high school and he was just such, he played for the Brandon Wheat Kings, and the Wheat Kings were so good at that time with Marty Murray. And oh my gosh, I just pumped. And then he goes to Calgary and he's got these killer pads, and oh, it was something else. I was so excited for him.
He got traded for Andrew Castles and J.S. Shigera, which in hindsight was a really, really wicked trade for the Flames.
He did play 178 games in Calgary. And I'm going to tell you another story. I used to go up to Winnipeg and watch the Flames play, right? And I swear to God, every time I went and watched the Flames, Trevor Kidd was not playing. I would get Rick Tabarachi, or I would get like, oh, and that's no knock on Tabarachi. I was always kind of like a secret favorite of him too. So he had some killer masks and it was a good goalie too, but I never got to see Trevor Kidd play live. And it irritates me to this day.
It's funny things that bother us. Eh?
Yeah. Oh man. Well, you know what? We talked about which ones we were most excited for. Which ones were we the most disappointed in?
That's the Toskala. Toskala needed hip surgery, if I recall correctly, in 2009-2010. So he had a very short stint with the Flames and left as a free agent. He always seemed like he had more to give, and just between injuries and just bad luck, couldn't seem to make it happen. So for me, Toskala, and then just, I'm gonna lump everybody in one category: the litany of Kiprusoff backups, Phil Sove, Brian Boucher, Curtis McElhinney, who went on to become Mick backup with Tampa Bay Lightning. And had tremendous success as an NHL backup goaltender, but not in Calgary. Matt Keatley, Leland Irving.
Leland Irving is my number one. I was so pumped for him. Couldn't wait. Suck. John Gillies is another one that
I had high. After Gillies played for the World Junior Team for the U.S., I had high hopes for him, man. Oof. Tyler Parsons.
Yes.
With all due respect, Tyler Parsons, he had some, if I remember correctly, some mental health issues, but a tremendous, tremendous talent that really never, got a hold at the professional level.
I'm going way back. I don't even know if you were alive. I don't think you were. Jim Craig wins a Olympic gold for the United States. And
that's Miracle on Ice, isn't it?
Yes. And he goes to the Atlanta Flames. And it was actually my first time that I even recognized or even knew anything of the Flames. I was not a Flames fan at that point. That came in about 84. But this guy was like, we're getting, I just remember watching. People actually watched Atlanta Flames games in the States because of him, right? And he didn't play long. He played just a few games. I mean, it was literally like, I think it was under 10 games. But, I mean, gosh, it was crazy that the hype that there was coming for that,
Wow. Yeah, I don't have any recollection of that at all.
No, you weren't alive, were you? What year were you born?
I don't want to talk about it. 87.
Oh. We'll wait till the last. Talk to me in 20 years, all right?
Yeah, right. And so many goaltenders.
So here's the question. Tell me some of the goalies that irritated the hell out of you.
Andrei Medvedev, because Medvedev was a monster for the Russians and the World Juniors, but was in the worst condition of any goaltender ever and never played for the Flames. Jeff Reese, who I thought,
oh yeah,
at that time should have been a lot better. Tyler Moss, because I thought, why can't we get somebody else to do this position? And again, hey, the guy played in the NHL. I'm not knocking the players at all. I'm just like, it was such developmental hell for Flames goaltenders, and was such a mishmash and just random options. It was awful.
I got two I distinctly cannot stand.
Oh, okay. Let's just jump right to that. What do you got?
Hands down, like the guy that he irritated me from day one till the day he left, and quite honestly, irritated me even more a year later, and that was Mike Smith. His personality was shit.
Yeah, like, he took a jerk. No responsibility.
A jerk. He would freaking suck. He'd come out of his net, make stupid plays. It would end up in the back of our net, and he'd blame it on somebody else. And I don't understand that. To this day, I would love to talk to some of his teammates and find out the truth of what they really thought of Mike Smith.
You know, 2019, Jerome McGinley retirement night, he really ruined that night for me. I was there in a box. That super play where he got stuck behind the net with a couple of Wild players, and the Wild won, I think it was 4-3. He ruined that game for me. And then a few months later in the playoffs, or a month or so later, he seemed to redeem himself against Colorado. He was lights out. The only reason we even came close to winning more than one game against Colorado. But I remember the interviews that you're talking about. And I think for that reason, I just shoved them out of my brain. He just no self-awareness, no responsibility, no, just nothing. So on a more positive note, because I don't want to talk about Mike Smith anymore. I think one goaltender we both kind of liked, I know I really liked, and I wanted him to stick around longer than he did, maybe just because he had a cool name, and I want your thoughts on him, was Kari Aramo.
Yeah.
I loved Kari Aramo, and I don't even know why.
I mean, gosh, he played over 100 games for this team.
Wild. That's so crazy to think about.
Dan Vladar played 100 games.
Wow. Yeah, probably three seasons, wasn't it?
Yeah, he did. He played 100 games. But yeah, I mean, Dan Vladar played more games here than Mike Smith did.
He did?
Yeah.
Get out of here. You're kidding.
That's what the stats says on Hockey Reference.
What the hell? How is that even?
It says that Dan Vladar played 100 games and Smith played.
Man, that is wild. What the? All right. Okay. All right.
I know I'm questioning the stats on the, I'm on the page.
Well, and understandably so, because all right. So when you talk about something like that, we have such vivid memories of somebody who was in our starting role, right? You don't realize that a guy hung around as a backup for 3-4 seasons, right?
Yeah. Well, so here's another one for you. This is a guy that I loved him, but wanted to punch him frequently. And that was David Riddick. Like I loved him off the ice. Yeah. Nicest guy in the entire world. How many games do you think he played in Calgary?
80.
He was here 5 years, played 130 games. He has got the 10th most games played by a Flames goalie in history.
That's woof.
Think about
that. That's wild. No, I don't want to think about it anymore. That's wild. It's crazy. Nuts. Nuts, man.
Like, I don't know, man. If I swear to God, if Dustin Wolf throws his stick in the air after a shutout, I'm jumping on the ice, going to catch that stick, put it right back in his hand, because I do not want that jinx on it again.
This lost reason not to worry about that.
The day that Riddick did that, like his game just went, it was gone.
Oh, man.
So here's another. So who did you not like?
Phil Sauvé drove me crazy.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the coaching staff drove me crazy, dude, because nobody would spell Kaprizov for any length of time, and that's what drove me nuts. Like, you're going to wear him out. You're going to wear him out. Like, stop it. Play your backup. And they wouldn't do it. I never had a lot of issues with goaltenders in Calgary other than that. I mean, I remember being frustrated here. We had Joey McDonald and Red O'Bara, and it's like, man, what are we doing? You can't.
Yeah, we can't go to the well with these two.
And all those goaltenders played above their heads to make the team more competitive than they should have been. Like, we had, you know, other than drafting Sam Bennett fourth overall, like, we didn't have anywhere near the draft picks we should have, right? Based on how bad our goaltending was, on paper at least.
You know, a goalie I want to talk about is, I don't know, he played 57 games in Calgary and lost more than he won, but, like, he was such a huge part. And that's Jamie McLennan.
I was waiting for that.
You still see him on TSN. He's the author of my favorite book of all time, Best Seat in the House.
That's so crazy to me. Of all the books out there, like, that just blows my mind. Not, and no disrespect to Jamie's book. It's like, man.
No, I know.
That's a hard. I had to buy that book like third hand on eBay. It's not an easy find.
Maybe it tells me how stupid I am. I don't know. Like, I remember reading that book in bed and waking my wife up multiple times because I was laughing so hard. Like, it is a good book. Like, it is. And maybe I'm goofy. I don't know. But,
well, you are goofy, but go on.
I know. He has a funny way, and I still like listening to him on TSN, or if he's on one of the radios in Calgary or a podcast or whatever. I listen to him. I like him. He's entertaining. He's got wonderful stories. And I listen to him, and especially in his book, how he talks about his time with Mika Kiprusoff and what he did to help Kiprusoff. I think he was an integral part, and I'd love to sit down and have a coffee with Kiprusoff and find out what he thought, because I bet you $100 he would say how important Jamie McLennan was to his career.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, there's no doubt about that at all. No doubt at all. Who'd you have the highest hopes for that didn't pan out as a prospect goaltender?
Well, Leland Irving. Man, I just remember getting carded.
Well,
hockey coach for him, and like, I don't know, they kind of shoved him in our face like he was going to be the next great thing, right?
Wasn't he also an Everett Silverchip like Dustin Wolf was?
He was, yes. Yeah. He was going to be the great thing.
I felt similarly. I mean, I think back to even Brent Cron, who's, you know, to Cron's credit, has spent 20 years now lambasting his own career and lack of deliverance on his prowess as a prospect goaltender. I hate to say it in a way, but for me, it was Tyler Parsons. I really thought he was the next big thing for Calgary. And to a lesser extent, but very similar, it was John Gillies. I think Gillies had some knee problems. He had carved a career as a career AHLer in the St. Louis organization and somewhere else, I believe. But it was John Gillies and John Gibson on the U.S. World Junior team, as I remember.
Yeah. Gillies was supposed to be, another guy that was supposed to be, I remember, I was young, but I remember hearing people talk about Jason Bozzotti too was supposed to be a good player, and I'm like,
so let's break out the card book while we do this, because we're nearing the end of the special episode. So let's throw out a few other Flames goaltender names, okay?
How about I know you don't know this one because I don't remember this one. Oh, that was a long time ago. That's not fair. I'm throwing out from the year you're born. Do you remember Doug Dadsworth or Dadswell?
I remember the name. Yep.
I mean, there is some, how many goalies have played for the Flames? A game.
60?
58. Gosh.
Man.
You're dialing in here. Holy
that is
cow.
Wild. That's absolutely wild. That was such a stupid guess. And I have like a ton of goaltenders I forgot about. Let's just run through a few names.
Remember again. Eddie Lack?
Yes, I remember Eddie Lack, of course. He got traded for Ryan Murphy, who was like, oh, I'm glad to play for Calgary, and got bought out 20 minutes later.
I got one that
Don Edwards.
I got one that you forgot about that we haven't talked about, and we should. He was a guest on Flames Unfiltered. He was a guest on Flames Unfiltered.
Yeah, well, Mikey's kid.
Before you were on Flames Unfiltered, he was a guest. Dwayne Rollison.
Who was it?
Dwayne Rollison.
You had Dwayne Rollison on the show?
Yeah.
Former St. John Flame. That's ridiculous.
Yes.
Get him back on, man. Let's see what old Dwayne
is. I have his phone number. His two sons played junior hockey here and got to know him over the season because he would always stand in the same corner as me at the games, and we'd visit and have a few drinks. And one day I said, hey, I got this Flames podcast. You want to come on the show? I have it sitting in my basement here. I can't get to it right at the moment because I'm recording, but I got a Dwayne Rollison goalie mask signed. It's bad. It's an ugly goalie mask. It's that old Ollie mask that he wore that had a horse on the side blowing fire out its nose. it's a bad blasty. Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a great, great guy.
So let's run through some names here, okay?
Okay.
That is way too cool, by the way. Dwayne Rolson, of course, is best known for carrying the Oilers to the 06 Cup Finals.
We talked a lot about it on the... We talked for like 30 minutes. I'll tell reference what episode that was, but he's on there, and he talks about his time in Edmonton and his time in Tampa, and it's interesting. It's very interesting.
Too cool. I love that. Yoni Ortio.
Okay.
Part of the 15-16 three-headed monster of Flames goaltenders featuring Kaire Amo and Jonas Hiller. So Yoni Ortio, who I thought was going to be a big, big piece, but he wasn't. Tyrone Garner.
What? Who's that?
Go ahead, look him up.
Did he even play? He couldn't have played a game.
I have a hockey card.
Oh, right, he did. One game. One game. Not a good night. He is .83 save percentage.
Yep. Better than some, though. Reggie Lemelin, who's pretty well known.
Yeah.
Man, I have, oh my, the Calgary Tower, Henrik Karlsson.
Oh yeah. You know what, another one that I forgot to mention earlier? Remember Andre Trefeloff?
I have his card right here. I do remember. There's Dwayne Rolson. There's Phil Sauvé. There's Jeff Reese.
Reese was the backup to Vernon, correct?
Yes, correct. Rick Wamsley, who was part of that famous trade. Yep. Ken Reggett. NHL journeyman goaltender Ken Reggett.
I always think of Ken Reggett as a Pittsburgh Penguin.
Me too, 100%. Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey. I think he played with Penguins in that video game. Artem Zagadulin.
You know what? I just saw his name. One game under his belt for the Flames, .818. Yeah, not a night. Not a night.
And either that's as far as I can go or that's as far as I care to go.
That is digging deep.
Now, for those who watch YouTube, I'm going to close the hockey card book and put this thing away.
So there is 6 Flames goalies that played one game and one game only. We have mentioned one of them, so I don't expect you to get this.
And I won't, so please tell me.
There's five of them. Louis Domingue played one game.
The fucking Baker.
Yep.
I have stories about him, but I'll save those for another day. Yeah, Louis Domingue. Yeah.
Matt Keatley.
Former Moncton Wildcat Louis Domingue. Matt Keatley, yes, go on.
Scott Sharples.
No,
Kay Whitmore.
Oh, I forgot about Kay Whitmore, everybody's goaltending coach.
Yep. And then Zagadulin. All played one. Oh, hey, here's the one that we didn't talk about. Remember when Nicholas Backstrom was a Flame?
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yeah, 4 games.
And he beat the Wild in his last NHL game, if I'm not mistaken.
He did. He did. I remember that.
4-1, I want to say.
So do you think this team is different if we don't trade J.S. Jagr, or was he just part of a timing system type good team in Anaheim?
I think he needed to change his scenery, which might be the lie I tell myself to make myself feel less bad about how terribly it was with the Flames, to be honest. Yeah, he's a legendary St. John Flame, not a legendary Calgary Flame, but I just remember him in 03 with Anaheim against Detroit being gassed in like the second or third overtime and having an oxygen tank brought to him in the crease because he was so tired from making so many saves.
Oh, geez. You want to hear something crazy?
Crazier than talking about Artem Zagadulin on this show? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm having a hard time believing these numbers. I'm having a hard time. Do you know that Dustin Wolf has played the 19th most games for a Flames goalie?
Man.
He's played 71 games already.
I'm sure he has, man.
That's bonkers. That is bonkers.
And in two years, he'll be top 5 in Flames game played. And probably second or third, probably in wins.
Top 5's 213 games. That's Jacob Markstrom. You think he gets there?
I don't know.
If you'd have put a gun to my head today and said, name me the top 5 in games played for the Flames and goalies, I would have got 3 of them right.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You know, I mean, the years just slip away, man.
Kiprasov's one.
Look at these grays. It's unreal.
Look at this, Ed. It's great. Kiprasov is 1. Vernon's 2. Dan Bouchard's 3. Reggie Lemelin's 4. And Jacob Markstrom's 5.
Yeah. Man, Dan Bouchard is going to be stuck in third for so friggin' long, unless Wolf signs an 8-year extension. You know what I mean? Like,
oh man.
What a fun episode.
Well, it's just funny to see these goalies and you forget about so many of them, right? I mean, we just forget about them.
That's what we do.
Yep. Well, we're getting through the summer. We're getting there. Slowly.
It's been a slog, bud. It's been a real slog, but we're getting there. Yep.
We're getting there. Well, that's good. We got some time to go, so we're going to get there. But it has been fun doing these special episodes. It's been a good time. And yeah.
Ah, excuse me. That's what I think of the Flames goaltending history right there. A great big yell.
That means it's time for bed, too.
All right.
I was fun talking Flames hockey, and I love that episode. It was fun.
Thank God I broke all the hockey cards, man. There's like 12 guys who would never get mentioned ever again in the history of mankind if I hadn't broke those out.
You know what? If this episode did nothing else, if it didn't entertain you, it brought back some memories. I guarantee it, right?
Well, we try to do both those things, but sometimes we can only do one. But hopefully we did both.
All right, Flames fans, have a good rest of your summer. We're back soon. Flames talk every week. But we're back to some regular episodes here real soon. So and the season will get here. It will. It'll get here, I promise. But enjoy what's left of the summer, and we're back talking Flames hockey next week.
Till next time, guys. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered with Brad Berube and Kyle Lewis, your source for unfiltered Calgary Flames hockey talk. Keep it locked on flamesunfiltered.ca. Subscribe where you get all your podcasts to never miss an episode. Flames Hockey Talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.